Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time you are listening. You're listening to Tracy Black, Bo Goss with First and Sold. This is our podcast. We are continuing our coaches and community tour on a beautiful day. Tracy, I'm excited about today.
We are over in Lauderdale County. We are in the beautiful Lexington, Alabama community on the campus of Lexington High School. We have the privilege and honor sitting down and talking with Coach Brett Mask of the Lexington Golden Bear. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank y'all for stopping by.
Man, yeah, I'm pretty pumped to sit down and talk to you, especially on air, because off of air, of course, we found out that you've been at Decatur. You've been, you know, you went to high school at Buckhorn. All your connections and the dots that connect have a lot to do with my neck of the woods, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Coach, when you think about your career, when we talked about your dad some, take us and the listeners on a little journey of Coach Mass's coaching stops and what got you here to Lexington today.
Well, I've been all across the state. I was fortunate enough out of college, after playing at UNA, got a job offer at Benjamin Russell High School in Alexander City, Alabama. So straight out of my comfort zone. You know, I'm a North Alabama guy, and worked for Mike McCombs down there, and that was a great experience. It really kind of got me into this business, got me away from my comfort zone, got me away from kind of all those connections of people that you're familiar with, and kind of put you in a new spot. And so I really do think that was huge for my growth as a coach. And then had the fortunate experience to get hired by Alvin Briggs at Florence, and got to come back up here in 2008 to 2012, and I was O-line coach, and got to work with some guys, some old heads will know these guys, Coach Mike Hand and Coach Steve Stewart and some of those guys, Coach Scott Brown. We were all part of that staff, and went from there and took my first coordinator job at Buckhorn High School in 2012, and went up there for a year. And I'll be, and anybody's lying to you if they tell you that they know what they're doing when they first become a coordinator, because they don't. Yeah. You know, and you learn on the run, and I'm very, very appreciative to Coach Hancock, actually, for giving me that opportunity. And then rolled right into Decatur after that with Coach Hancock at Decatur, and got to work with, you know, Coach Morrison at Florence. That's where we made that connection, and was the O-line coach at Decatur for 4 years under Coach Hancock. And you want to talk about learning and learning how to run a program and organization. I mean, that man was doing it for 22 years when I got there, and still doing it. So that's a great resource. I mean, we probably talk two or three times a month about things, and he'll call me on O-line stuff, and I'll call him on program stuff. So left there, and then was fortunate enough to be the head coach at Carver County High School. And, you know, the legacy there with, you know, my dad being there during the 80s and being the head coach in the early 2000s. And what a great experience Leighton, Alabama is. I mean, I still consider Leighton somewhat home because I grew up out there and love those people at Leighton. And then, you know, the way this business goes, you get a phone call, and Coach Morrison at Florence called me and said, hey, I'm about to get this job. I need you. I want you. And gave me another coordinating experience, and what a blessing that was to be in 7A and call plays against, you know, Thompson and Opelika and Hillcrest, and playing some of those teams, and Hewitt Trustful, and, you know, what a great experience that was. And we had great kids over there. And then, you know, just like every job, I tell people all the time, and I tell this to young kids, the best jobs you ever get are the ones you don't expect. And I'm sitting here at Lexington High School, is if you'd have told me, you know, 6 months ago you'd be the head coach at Lexington, I'd tell you you're crazy. But good Lord works in mysterious ways, and just, you know, got a phone call out of the blue and said, would you be interested in this? And I know what this place is about, and we've played this team and played this school before, and we know what they're about. And so it was a great opportunity for me to become a head coach again, and also a great place for my family. I mean, this, y'all said it coming in, that this community is great, great school system. So it was a no-brainer. And, you know, love 7A, love B school football, and that's great, but there's just something about a hometown community school that you just can't put a price tag on. And I think that this is what we have here, and I'm telling you, I have loved the last 3 months I've been here. I've loved these kids, loved this town, loved this community, and expecting good things going forward.
Coach, are you excited?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
He's fired up, listeners. I want y'all to know. You can see it in his eyes. You can hear it in his voice. Dude's excited about the Lexington Bears. He's pumped up, Tracy.
You got to say Golden Bears. Now, come on, man.
Golden Bears.
That's right.
Sorry. I apologize.
No, it's all right.
So, Coach, tell us about the transition, the move, everything. Everything go good?
Oh, couldn't ask for a better group of men to work for and work with. I'm going to give a shout-out to our administration, our principal, Dr. Zach Senior, and our assistant principal, Coach David Hill, who's also our athletic director, have been phenomenal to work for and work with. They brought some great ideas. They want to make this place better. And if anybody has seen our campus and seen what we've done around here, just not just in football, but on the campus in general, we are trying to make this place a first-class operation. It does not matter that we're a 2A. It does not matter that, you know, we're in a small town. You can be great in any of those places. So shout out to them and for giving me this opportunity, but also the steps that they took to make this place better, and then the steps that we took in football to make this place better, that we're continuing, and we're trying to make this place a showplace of Lauderdale County.
Well, shout out to the maintenance guy, the HVAC guy. The moment him and I walked into the building, we were both like, whoo, it feels good in here.
It's nice. Coach, we were talking off the air a little bit about when you think about those old school teams at Lexington and some of those memorable battles with Hazelwood, and I can remember some of the battles with Gordo in the playoffs when you look back in time. We talked about a coach earlier, Coach Toner, and I know you guys got something planned special for Coach Toner. You want to tell us a little bit about that and what that's about?
Yeah, we're doing a legacy night, and again, I'm gonna throw this back on our administration. This was a big part of their ideas, that we want to involve old folks from Lexington and get them back on campus to see what we're doing and get that pride and that spirit and really cultivate that. And we're having a legacy night on August 29th against Elkmont. We're going to honor Coach Toner and invite some of his whole team, old teams back to come see the place and just fellowship and be a part. And we want our people to know that they are welcome at their alma mater, and they're welcome in this field house and welcome on this field.
That's cool. Because when you talk about hometown teams, hometown dreams, that's exactly what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. If you called this place home at one point, welcome home. Come back. Come check it out. There's a lot of things going on, and we are excited about it. We're proud of it, and we want you guys to be proud of what we're doing to help spread the word.
And that's one thing I think that we're, and I want people to understand this about me. I don't care. I've not fought this my whole career, but I've tried to make it a point. I don't want people to look at me as just the meathead football coach that just coaches football. You know, I want them to see us and see our staff, see my family as part of this community. And, you know, if Lexington is playing checkers or basketball or tiddlywinks or football or swimming or band or whatever, we want to have the best stuff. We want to have the nicest, the best team we can put out there and put a product out there that our community and our people are proud of. So when we say we want to win at Lexington and we want to be great, that's not just football. That's a collective effort by our school and our administration and our coaching staff to do things right by these kids and make our place attractive to anybody that sees it. And that goes from the band all the way up to volleyball, to girls sports, to football, to basketball, everything we do. We want to try to do it first class. And I think we've made some big improvements around here in the last probably 3 months.
Coach, I'm going to say something. You speak just like a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. And, you know, offensive linemen, they are the transmission to move the football down the field, you know. But they don't get the glory.
No.
They don't get the spotlight. They don't. And you just saying that it's all about Lexington. It's all about the kids in every sport, in anything, just as long as the kids are involved and become a part of something, he's cheering for them. You know, 100%. That's an offensive lineman right there, buddy.
Well, I got told a long time ago, and I'll be honest with y'all, if you look at me in high school, I wore single-digit number 8.
Really?
I thought I was a tight end and I was a linebacker, and, you know, I don't know about all that. And then got to UNA or Simon Murray State and went up there and played for a year and transferred back home to UNA. And it was probably the best move I ever made. And then there, a lot of folks remember Coach Marcus, but the UNA, he called me in after the spring and he said, Maska, do you want to play 15 or 20 snaps a game or do you want to play 60 or 70? I said, well, Coach, I'm 60 or 70. Huh? They go, hey, go in there and see the equipment manager, get you a 70 number. And I was like, no, I don't wear 70 numbers. No. And he was like, yeah, it'll be all right. Just go in there and see him. Best move I ever made. And I have to give a lot of credit to Terry Tillman. Of teaching me that position. He was our O-line coach at UNA, and like I said, if any of my guys are listening, they know, and they're right up here in my office. If you look up there on my office, there's two pictures of our O-line and then one of me and Coach Tillman, and outside of my dad and a few more, Terry Tillman probably taught me more about this game, and I really don't think I'm not sitting here if I didn't make that move. And you know, he used to beat it in our heads all the time. It takes a special person to work 50, 60, 70, because you get no credit until you mess up. You know, man. Nobody ever talks about the O-line until you give up a sack or you miss a block. And, you know, he called us the, you know, kind of the mushroom society. You feed us a bunch of crap and keep us in the dark and we'll grow. So.
That is a phenomenal story.
So that's kind of where I've been. You know, it's not about
great.
Yeah, it's not about. It's never about us. It's never about me. It's never about an individual. It's about the unit, and that's what we preached. And I got to give him a lot of credit for that.
I mean, you can go back and look at all the great sportscasters, a lot of great coaches, but really, in my mind, like when you're listening to people do like sports radio. And I'm going to throw his name out there, Cole Kublik. They are really good at what they do. And most of them are the linemen, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, here he is, a successful guy. You know, now the head coach at Lexington, offensive lineman. You know, I don't think y'all get enough credit, Coach.
I could care less about the credit. I mean, like I said, it's about those guys in there. And if there's anything that anybody ever wants to put on my tombstone, just, I want it in quotes, do right by kids. And I've tried to live by that. Do right by kids. The adults will get out of the way. All the adults do is we screw it up. Just do right by those guys, those 45 guys in there, and you'll be okay. And do right by them. And I think going back to the offensive line thing, I think it's just because you're drilled. So, because 6 inches makes a difference. You know, that much difference is the difference in executing a block as opposed to missing a block. Because, you know, they used to say all the time, you know, O-line's the last stop before the bus stop. If you can't play anything else, you're going to go play O-line. And if you can't do that, then can't find nowhere. So, you know, we were always, you know, as linemen, you're always looked at kind of as a disadvantage, as, you know, well, you're not as good an athlete. If you were that good an athlete, you'd be up there rushing the passer instead of trying to block. So, you know, we always took that as a chip on our shoulder. And if you look at my guys that we played with at UNA, you know, if you ask any of us, hey, you know, just O-line. No, heck no, we're athletes, yeah. You know, and that's the way we looked at it. And so I think a lot of that goes back to the attention to detail and just the little things. And I told our guys the other day, I said, we had the whole team up there, and I said, look, I'm not discrediting any of you. I said, but O-line, if we want to have a good day, it's on you. It goes as we go. I don't care if you're a receiver, a quarterback, any of that stuff. I said, no offense to any of y'all. Love y'all. But O-line, it's on you. Good or bad, it's on you. We're going to have a good day, the O-line has a good day. We have a bad day, O-line will have a bad day. And it holds true. And you can ask any coach, then they'll tell you, well, yeah, sure, that's about right.
The games are won in the trenches. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Coach, I know you've only been here for a few months so far, but tell us a little bit about what you've seen so far. What's got you excited about this upcoming season? How many seniors you got, and what you excited about?
We've got 9 seniors now, maybe 10. 10. We got a kicker back out. We talked him back out. What I see, you know, when I first walked in the building was a group of very respectful kids, great kids. They do right in the classroom. They do right in the community. And the next thing I noticed about them is they are hungry to win. What was so impressive the first day I was here, I got hired on a Wednesday, and I was here on Thursday morning to meet and greet the team. And our seniors, our 9 seniors at that time, literally lined up in a straight line and walked up, looked me in the eye, shook my hand, and introduced himself. I never will forget that. I mean, that speaks a lot to them, and I think, you know, they want to be good, and I think they're doing a great job leading this team. They're not real vocal guys, and they don't have to be vocal guys. They are leadership guys by what they do every day, the way they come to work, and our guys have just followed them. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm excited about as a head coach coming into a new place is just the buy-in. Just, you know, what we've done, I say this kind of laughing, what we did to them this summer and then what we've done in fall camp has been a little bit different than what they're used to, but they've embraced it. They've embraced the physicality of it, and I think, you know, going forward, we're setting the tone for years to come.
Coach, what about your staff? Were you able to bring some of your guys, or did you have to rehire and all that good stuff?
And I'm going to go back to our administration on this. They did a great job of helping me get quality guys in here. We added this up the other day, and before I mention some names, I think we added up, there's over, and I've said this several times, there's over 100 years coaching experience in that office in there. We have been fortunate enough to hire Rick Rice out of Tennessee, a former state championship coach at Wayne County. Has wanted to get to Alabama for years, and when I say a solid hire, he is solid. Brings a lot of head coaching experience and just a workman's attitude and a great guy. We've got Jason Lord back. You know, everybody out here knows Coach Lord, and that was a no-brainer. He's coaching our O-line, D-line. That's it. I mean, I don't have to worry about it. We got Coach Matt Folks, who's been at Deschler, who's been at Rogers. He's working on our side, on the defensive side of the ball now, and he's going to be our defense coordinator. Done a great job learning his defense. And then Evan Jackson, who's from here, but he primarily did our junior high, and he's our head baseball coach, but we've kind of brought him in the fold, and we've kind of worked our schedule out to where he can help with varsity too. And then Coach Drew Davis, who was at Coach Jeffries, Coach Dale Jeffries at Red Bay for years, and then he was my defense coordinator at Colbert County, and then just so happens he lives out here, and then he's out, like, not a full-time guy, but he's got a restaurant in town, but he's actually calling our offense. So when you start looking at some of these guys in this room now, I mean, it's and then the young guys we got, Coach Preston Turner, who's a graduate from here, does a great job with our junior high. I told them, hey, y'all's job is just not letting me mess it up. And that's the truth. I mean, it's these guys come to work every day. They've all been coordinators. They've all been head coaches. That's a dream for me. It lets me run this program and blow a whistle and make a practice schedule and fix, you know, throw my 2 cents in, and then I get out of the way. So it's been really nice.
Man, you talk about Coach Rice. I hadn't heard that name in a long time. But I can remember his boys up there at Wayne County.
Yes, sir.
Well, they were good.
Solid.
Well, they made some deep runs in the playoffs. Man, that's a great staff. Everybody you mentioned, I know one of them. I mean, those are some great coaches. When you talk about that, when you are coming in new and you've only been here a few months, all the stuff that's going on, all the excitement that's building up around the program, what have you seen so far from a leadership perspective? Out of the team, and what does that word mean to you from when you think about leadership?
Yeah, leadership to me is one of those things where you can develop it. Some kids have it naturally, but you can develop it. And I think the biggest thing that we've tried to do is empower these kids to take some ownership. You know, as a head coach coming in, I have my certain standards, but I've also met with our kids and gave them a little ownership. Hey, how do y'all want to do this? There's certain things that are non-negotiable. There are certain things we're going to do a certain way, but I think if you give them a little bit of ownership and let them run with it, and we do a motto every day at the end of the practice, and I just told them, I stepped back, I said, look, I'm going to do this about 2 or 3 times, and then somebody else is going to learn it, and I need some leadership to step up. And it doesn't have to be a senior. And we had a 10th grader. That third day said, Coach, I think I can get it. And he leads our motto every day on the breakdown. And we tell our kids all the time, age is just a number. You don't have to be a senior to be a leader. Do we want our seniors to be leaders? Absolutely. But just, I think what you're seeing in there with them right now is you're seeing guys that are starting to enjoy playing together. They're starting to enjoy, they've always enjoyed being around each other, but we're at a common goal now. You know, we're starting to see that kind of buy-in to where we're all pulling the same page. And then, you know, a couple of our seniors with Jake Lard and Thomas Smith and Lane Matthews, they're our vocal guys. they're the ones that, you know, just had, hey, let's go, guys. Hey, we're going to be okay. And our team follows. And you know, I'm not big on big rah-rah guys. I mean, you can be a rah-rah guy, but you better back it up. But I'd rather be a guy that, go back to that offensive line, is just going to put their hand in the ground or come to work and punch a time clock and go to work and let's go get better. And that's what we got here.
Go ahead.
I love it. Coach, wow. I mean, if I was a dad, let's just say Tracy's my son. You like that, don't you?
That's right.
But anyway, Tracy's my son, and we're sitting in your office, just like we are right now. Man, you've got me sold, Coach. You got me sold on you, your staff, the community, the school. Man, what a great man they've got here, Tracy. Coach, if I had to ask you a question, if you could define football, what does it mean to you?
Some people in this seat would tell you, oh, it's my life. It's what, you know, it's about what it is. I mean, I get up and come and I get paid to do this and I love my job. But football to me teaches life. It's not life. You know, at the end of the day, it's a game. And we tell our kids all the time, a game is made to be fun. But I got two little boys at home. That's life. I got a wife at home. That's life. At the end of the day, this is a game. But this is a vehicle to teach you about life, because I don't know any sport that, you know, other than a few individual sports, boxing, some of that, this is the only sport I know that it's legalized violence. That you can get hit in the mouth, you can get kicked in the teeth, and it's all legal. Yeah. You know, and that, if that doesn't teach anything, you know, teach you about life, I don't know what is, because we've all been there, you know, and I tell our kids all the time, 10 years down the road, we want football to be that vehicle that changes your life. When the baby's crying and the bills are due, and all that stuff, you look back at all this junk we did and what you've gone through, hey, you can accomplish anything. So to me, football, and that's why I want kids, whether they play it down or not, we want them to be a part of our program, because we want to try to build men, try to build better fathers, build better husbands, and build better citizens. And I think football to me is one of the few things that we have left that really teaches young men how to be men. And in that situation, you know, I think we're losing some of that in this country a little bit. You know, I'm not one of those, but, you know, we got great kids everywhere. And there's good folks everywhere. But to just have that football in your life, whether you're good at it, whether you're not good at it, it's going to teach you how to be tough. It's going to teach you how to overcome adversity. And you take a Friday night, it's the highs of the highs. It's the lows of the lows. And that's life. You know, things are, you'll be on top 1 minute and next minute you're down. How are you going to react? How are you going to react to adversity? So to me, football teaches life. It's not my life. It's a big part of it. I grew up in it and I love this game and I'll be around it to the day I die. But it teaches life. And I think that is huge. And that's what we tried. Any kid we've ever been around, any kid I've ever been around, my goal, 10 years down the road, I just want to come back, hug my neck and say, Coach, thank you for what you did. If we're doing that, we're doing a good job.
Shoot, Jeff. Yes. Can I ask you what the motto was? Are you allowed to tell us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or was it an inside thing?
No. I'll just go through it. I'm a Lexington Golden Bear. These are my brothers. This is our team. We practice. We win. We lose as a team. We'll never accept defeat. We'll never quit. We pledge to be among the few that hold the title of champion. We bleed purple and gold. And one person leads it, and the other one's respond, and then we break it down on family or whatever we break it down, but win, lose, or draw, we're going to say that motto.
Woo! That's good stuff. That is
your
good
turn.
Stuff.
Your turn.
Coach, we talked a little bit earlier about Butch Toner. We're going to talk about Coach Steve Mass. We're going to talk about your dad and the influence and what he means to your career.
Yeah, huge. You know, I'm not sitting here if he's, you know, if I'm not his son, if I don't grow up in this business. But I think one of the things that I attribute a lot to him is teaching me how to operate in this business, how to be a professional, how to be loyal, how to conduct yourself in the off season. How do you conduct yourself on the field? How do you conduct yourself at practice? How do you conduct yourself dealing with a discipline problem? Handling a kid, handling parents. I think those are some of the biggest things that I take away. And notice I didn't say X's and O's. I mean, yeah, we talk a lot of X's and O's, and he's probably one of the best defensive minds I've ever been around. And just ask him, he'll tell you. But I think teaching, I think I took so much from him, is learning how to be a professional in this business and do things the right way. And I was very fortunate being young, in a young, you know, career, first couple of years coaching, to be around him and going to clinics and just to sit back and basically taught me to shut up and listen. And yeah. I think a lot of times that's a skill that I think a lot of young coaches don't know. And I think that's a, you know, that is a big time deal, to just shut up and listen and soak it in. And that was one of those things, like, you know, when I was a young coach, we'd go to a clinic and Dad would tell me, hey, I'm about to introduce you to a couple guys over here. All right, this is Coach Wood. This ain't Jack. This is Coach Curtis. This isn't Terry. You know, and just some of those respectful things of just, you know, how you conduct yourself as a young coach. And I just tried to soak it up, you know, and trying to just to watch the professionalism. And then also how to run a program, you know, how you set your week, you know. And that's what stuff people don't really realize that are not in this business. There's so much planning that goes into just a day. I mean, where y'all came in, I'm sitting here making a practice schedule, and it's down to the 5-minute increments, you know. And when you get off of that schedule and things like that, just like in life, you know, you're going to get behind. And so just the planning that goes into running a program, the planning that goes into a practice, a game week, how you going to travel, when you going to meet on Sundays, how you break down film, how do you do all this stuff that, like I said, probably the general public does not know, which I'm so glad they're getting to hear this, because they're seeing the insight into what we do on a daily basis. And so I attribute a ton of that to my dad. And like I said, just learning how to navigate the business and learning how to deal with people, learning how to deal with parents, kids, administrators. I still to this day call, hey, how do I handle this? How would you handle this? You know, I know you're not up here and I'm not down there, but, you know, and we bounce ideas off each other. So the resource that he is invaluable.
I'm going to bounce something off of what you just said, talking about this is Coach Wood, not Terry or whatever. What does that mean to you? You have the title coach.
It's a big responsibility. And that coach, that title don't stop when you leave here at 5:30. That title follows you. You can walk into a church building. You can walk into an event. They may know who the preacher is. They may know who all that. They don't know who the coach is. That's anywhere you go. I can walk in that lunchroom. They may not never see me, or they know, oh, that's the coach. So that responsibility that you have with that title, it follows you. And we see it all the time in the business. Just flip on the news. You know, and I think that's one thing that really just gripes me a lot, is people don't take this title serious. People throw that title around, and a lot of people in this business, they just, for lack of a better term, they want the uniform. They love the cage jackets. They love the hats. They like the shoes. They like looking good. But there's so much more that goes with it being a coach than just putting on the practice stuff, putting on the khakis on Friday night, putting a headset on, and calling plays. You know, there's so much more to it. That's just probably a tenth of what this business entails. And I go back to my dad and, you know, Coach Adcock and Coach Riggs and some of the guys I work for, you know, they taught me that. You know, and they taught us how to be professionals, and I think that's one thing I do think we're missing a little bit in this business going forward is, you know, I think our younger guys are, I say the more the PlayStation guy. I mean, I play PlayStation just like everybody else, but, you know, everybody just wants to call plays. Everybody just wants to run plays and go out there, but there's so much more that involves being a coach, because you're still a coach on Saturday afternoon. You're still a coach in January. You're still a coach at the restaurant on Friday nights. And everybody knows who you are, and everybody sees that. So it, with great power comes great responsibility.
I'm going to say, you said earlier on your tombstone, you want to say, doing right by the kids. I think at the end of it, you should say, as coach.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be cool. Doing right by the kids as coach. Because, I mean, I'm 47 years old, and I still call my coaches coach at this age today. So you're right, it's a title that you hang on to forever, because you know, that's your ultimate goal, is making the impact on those players.
That's exactly right.
Coach, let me ask you this. As far as, and one thing that I hear when Coach is talking is wisdom. And, hey, we have sat down with Coach Gross, Coach Bazden, Coach Gotze, and, dude, your wisdom's far beyond your years. I mean, it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. One thing that might be a little concerning down the road is people hear this, you start having success here, Lexington might not stay 2A very long. The numbers may go through the roof.
Hey, if that happens, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Coach, so we got Lauderdale County opening the season. I know that's a huge rivalry. What do you think as far as getting ready for that moment? I know we still got a few weeks to go here. Let's just go through. It's 6:57, 6:58. Almost time for kickoff. You had the coin toss. Teams are on the sideline. Bands playing. What do you think you're going to be thinking at that moment?
It's pretty fun. I swear. I mean, that's it. Like, when you get to that point, why do you sign up to do this? That's the fun part. Like, yeah. That time right before kickoff, when you're just kind of looking around, like, all right, my wife's up there, there's my kids, hey, you know, and you look around like, dude, I get to do this for a living.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only adrenaline rush that I think that comes as close as I know of to playing. It's that right there before, and people that have not experienced that, I can't tell you what it's like. You can jump out of an airplane. You can hang glide. I'm sure I'm not doing that. I'm sure some people have. Why do you want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
But, amen. I don't know that either.
But that is as close as I can get to actual play in the game. And that's where the love of the game comes in. And I think I get more tore up. People look at me on Friday nights like, did you just have a good time? If I'm getting tore up on Friday nights, then we have messed up during the week. So you ain't gonna fix it on Friday nights. You can fix it on Monday, but you better enjoy it and you better stay calm, because, like, I go back to again, the guys that I've been around and some of these old guys, Coach Greasy at Copper County, used to say all the time, hey, tell me, hey Hoss, that team's gonna take on the personality of the head coach. So if you get over there and panic and you throw a fit and all that, guess what they're gonna do? So I've always just tried to keep an even keel on the games on Friday nights and enjoy it. I mean, that's what we sign up for. This is the only business I know of where you're judged on 10 days out of the year.
Yeah.
You do all this work, and you're judged on 10 days out of the year for 2.5 hours, and you're also judged on how 16, 17, 18-year-old kids perform.
Yeah.
That's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
So if you ain't enjoying it, you know, I don't know why you're doing this.
Yeah. That takes me back to, I have a really close friend of mine. We were coaching Little League Baseball, and we ended up, we became really good friends, and I still talk to him on a weekly basis. He's a prayer warrior of mine. We bounce things off to one another. And he was a heck of a baseball player, played college baseball, ended up being a coach at Austin for a while in baseball, just a great family man, good man of faith, just a great guy, knows baseball. And I would watch him in practice, and he was very loud, very just, man, he was in it, and he coached, and he was, you know, all about it. But then we'd go to the games, and he was just even keel. And I asked him one day, because that's not me. I'm that way all the time. I'm very into it. I'm loud all the time. And he says, man, Bo, you'll learn. We've already coached. Now we can't change anything or coach anything during a game. Let's trust our players, trust the boys. Anyway, he taught me a huge lesson, and that's exactly what you just said.
Yeah, if you're throwing a fit on, Dad used to tell me all the time, if you're throwing a fit on Friday night, then you should have been throwing a fit Monday through Thursday. Because either you're not prepared or something happened. You know, you always got to make adjustments. You're always going to go in halftime. And just to let y'all know, I'll throw this out there for the listeners. Just so, I heard Peyton Manning say this couple of weeks ago on one of those ESPN deals, and he's about right. You know, people ask all the time, man, what y'all do at halftime, man? Y'all made some big time. We ain't making no halftime adjustments other than chewing some tail out to tell them to get your job done, or this is what we got to do. Other than adjusting to a few formations, we don't go in there and put a new defense in. We don't go in there and put a new offense in. We go in there and try to correct the mistakes that we have made in the first half to make sure that our game plan works. So you know, people think a lot of times, make some great halftime adjustments. 9 times out of 10, we did. We just went in there and chewed some tail and
they started executing.
So yeah, and based on execution. And so, you know, if you're going, and I'll say this too, if you're going in changing your game plan at halftime, your first one stunk anyway. So, you know.
So. I love you, Coach Mask. He's awesome.
I'm telling you, and when you said, you know, I'll say this to any coach out there, young coaches that are trying to learn the game, what he just said about, hey, if you're raising cane on Friday night, you should have been doing it Monday through Thursday. I mean, what some wisdom to share. I mean, everything that you've said there could just go a long way in somebody's career. And then I'll feed off of that. You've been around, you've coached at a lot of different places, you just got so much experience and wisdom. If one of your former players or somebody, just a young kid that's thinking about going to college and getting his teaching degree, if he were to call you up and say, hey, Coach, man, I'm thinking about doing this for career, what would be some of the advice you'd give to that guy?
Do it. It's the most rewarding career you'll have. You know, you can look at the money, you can look at all that stuff. Insurance pretty good. But, you know, do it. Do it. I mean, we need young guys in this business. And the best thing I can tell, and I'm not going to say his name, but we had a young kid at Florence last year that ended up being kind of a protege of mine, and I still talk to him, and he sat beside me in the box and charted for me. You know, that's one thing I told him, hey, just shut up and listen. Just shut up and listen. That was the best thing I could tell you. Shut up and listen. Yes, because there ain't nothing, you know, I'm 41 years old and I've been doing this 20 years now. There ain't nothing you can draw up there on that board that I ain't seen or we ain't ran or we ain't done. So, that either seen somebody run offense, defense, you're not going to reinvent the wheel. And that's what I would tell young guys, like, you know, go back and look at the 1940 stuff, the single wing stuff, and then you'll tell them, you know, I saw an interview they were talking about. It was actually watching the footballs in the South, the old history of the SEC, and, you know, they're talking about trying to snap the ball as fast as possible so the defense can't get lined up. That's in 1940. That's hurry up, no huddle.
Yeah.
And we ain't reinventing nothing. It just comes back around the cycle. So just for any young guy out there that wants to get in this business, do it. It'll be the most rewarding business you have. You will have more fun. But at the end of the day, shut up and listen. Because that's what I got told. And I did it, and, you know, it served me well. So
here you are.
And here I am.
Shut up and listen. I've heard that before from other coaches, that when you're a new coach, young coach just starting out, you should be doing this. Not saying a word. Shut up.
Yes. Just say yes, sir, and go on. Tell me how you want it coached. I may not agree with it. And I was kind of like that young. You know, I came right out of college. I'm trying to coach offensive linemen like stuff we did in college. And I can't remember who told me. And maybe Coach Briggs or maybe Coach Hand looked at me and said, hey, there's a reason you played college football. You can do those skills. These guys may not can. And that just – hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, yeah, I can do all this stuff because, yeah, I was fortunate enough to have a God-given ability and a little bit of, you know, athletic ability and could go play. But, you know, that 5'10", 280-pound kid that's going to go, you know, go be an engineer or something, he can go play college football. He can't do those steps that you can do. So why would – and it was like a whole new world opened up. Like, you know what? That's a good point. And it changed my whole way I approach kids. So,
Coach, the only thing I can tell you is I'm proud of you, man.
Well, thank you.
I'm proud of what you've done within the success of your career and the people you've been blessed to be around. I'm proud to know that the youth here at Lexington is fixing to be. He's paying it forward for what people have done for him. You're now doing it for this youth, so I'm excited for the youth here in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that with us. Man,
right. Thank you for this platform and this opportunity. So.
I mean.
That I'm going to tell you, and I know there's a couple of young kids. One of them lives, the parents live in our subdivision, last name Poss, and they're coming up. Boy, you talk about two ball players right there. You've future's very bright for you. They are beasts. But, you know, Coach, I'm excited about the Lexington community and what they've got here. I mean, I don't know if anybody really realizes.
Yeah.
If they don't know Coach Mask, and if they hear this podcast or they get to see what he does, I'm telling you, Golden Bear Nation, get ready.
Yeah. buckle up your chin strap.
Shut up and listen.
Shut up and listen. I can guarantee you one thing. They're going to work really hard. They're going to be taught to do things the right way. And they're going to have life lessons and life skills when they leave this Golden Bear program. And I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, do you have boys?
Okay, I got an eighth grader and I got a third grader.
And they're both boys.
Both boys.
Eighth grader playing ball?
Actually, here's another life lesson out there. Don't make him play.
Yeah.
He's not that kid. And he'll tell you, Dad, I'm not a football guy. I don't like sports. But guess what he does? He flies that drone every day. And he does our huddle. And he does our film. And he loves it. And he's found his niche. All I've ever asked of my kids, just be a part. We want to be involved. Now, my third grader, he'll be out there tackling everybody on Friday night, and he's running up the walls. And, you know, I tell people I got one that's going to be an engineer and go build bridges, and I got one that's going to blow up bridges. So,
yeah, that's hilarious.
That's great.
So, that's funny how different siblings can be.
Yep.
Being from the same, you know, same DNA, just completely different. That's right. Crazy. Well, Coach, once again, on behalf of First and Soul Community, thank you for taking a busy week. I mean, I know it's a busy week. The time to sit down and talk to us.
Well, I appreciate y'all.
Best of luck on the season and go Golden Bears.
All right, guys. That is Coach Mask with the Lexington Golden Bears. We'll see you next time. My town.